This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
Today we're having Linda Tacconi from Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics in Germany to tell us about star-forming galaxies in the distant universe. Hello Linda, welcome to Jodcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
You work on these star-forming galaxies at high redshift, which means in the far universe. Why are we interested in these galaxies? What are they? Are they very different from nearby star-forming galaxies?
These are galaxies. What we want to know how galaxies like our own Milky Way formed. And so we're studying galaxies when the universe was 20% of its current age. And so these galaxies are baby galaxies in a way. So they're just in the process of forming most of their stars. Although they already have formed stars even earlier, there are already some old stars in these galaxies. But we're trying to witness them when they're doing the bulk of their formation. They're very different from local star-forming galaxies, and what we think is they have a lot more cold gas, which is the stuff from which stars are forming. And so in a local galaxy, we have maybe 10% of the baryonic mass is in cold gas. But in high redshift galaxies, it can be up to a half. This makes a galaxy look very different, and the physics of the galaxy is very different from what it is in the local universe.
How do you know they have a lot more cold gas compared with galaxies nearby? How do you study these systems? For example, how do you measure the gas?
Well, there are two ways. We're detecting the gas in two ways. In some of the systems, we're detecting hot ionized gas, where we see emission lines from hydrogen in the rest frame optical band that are redshifted into the near-infrared. And we use very sensitive instruments on the ESO Very Large Telescope on Paraná in Chile, an instrument called Symphony, which allows us to make a two-dimensional image of the galaxy and then also get information about the motions in the galaxy along a third axis. So we have a data cube with the integral field spectroscopy. That has only been possible now for about 4 years. So this is a very new technique. But then we're also looking at the cold gas, because that's also an interesting component, because that's the building blocks for the stars. And there we use millimeter interferometry. From Jodrell Bank, you know a lot about interferometry. And we are using currently an interferometer which is based in the French Alps, called the Plateau de Bure. And there we observe rotational emission from molecules. And the molecule that we look at is carbon monoxide. It's a very simple molecule. And it's the brightest emission that we can see from a very distant galaxy. And this is one of the main goals of the ALMA project, where people will try to measure gas masses in high redshift galaxies routinely. We are now only able to do it for a few dozen systems. We're using the millimeter interferometry to observe the cold gas, and the tracer we use is the carbon monoxide line, which emits in the millimeter band. We know a relationship from observing galaxies locally between the amount of carbon monoxide you see and the total amount of molecular gas that there is. And we apply that relationship then to measure the gas mass. But that we can only do in a few systems, because these systems are very far away and it's very hard to observe them. So for most of the other systems, we need to apply a relationship that, again, has been determined for local universe galaxies, where we know that for star-forming galaxies, there's a very nice relationship between how many stars a galaxy forms and its gas mass, its gas density. And we apply, so we can determine the star formation rates through our optical emission lines. We can collect the light from the stars and turn that back into a rate, and then we apply the same relationship and then infer a gas mass. And in comparing the two methods, the direct observing method and just applying an empirical relationship that we determined locally, they're actually not too bad. They're not too different. So that's how I think we are making some progress in measuring gas masses and high gas fractions.
A widely accepted picture about the universe is that it has experienced a fierce merging history, that galaxies collide with each other when the density of the universe was high in the earlier times. How do these distant star-forming galaxies fit into such a merging picture?
Well, this was an interesting point because we were surprised at first to find that a lot of the galaxies we're studying don't show evidence for having been through mergers. Some of them do, but of the ones we've looked at so far, about more than half seem to be forming without having to merge together with other galaxies.
There is another population of galaxies at high redshift called red dead elliptical galaxies. They are sort of much evolved systems in terms of star forming. Is there any evolution link between them and these star forming galaxies you're talking about?
We believe that there is a trend. We believe that in the galaxies which are going through major mergers, so this, what we call the submillimeter galaxies, these are bright, very luminous, dusty galaxies, which are probably two massive galaxies merging together. In this case, they have properties, both their densities and their sizes are very similar to the evolved galaxies, also at high redshift. And so we do see, we think there's a link between those two populations, and such that the lifetime of this bright merging starburst, so-called starburst phase that the submillimeter galaxies are going through, is very short. In this time, they form stars at a rate of about 1,000 what we call solar masses, masses of the sun, per year. This is extraordinary amount of stars to form at once. And so they do this for about 100 million years. And in that process, they can form enough stars to look, once you let that evolve for 1 billion, 2 billion years, then they start to look more like these red elliptical galaxies.
So in that case, all the star formation stopped in those systems?
I don't know if all of the star formation stopped, but certainly the bulk of the star formation. They either the galaxies run out of gas because they form so many stars, or what's left is blown out by the formation of the massive stars. They evolve very quickly, and then they go and become supernovae, and they can blow gas out of the galaxy. Or also, at the same time these galaxies are being formed, the central black holes also are being formed. And when they start accreting material, they also get very, very active, and they can form a giant wind, which we call feedback, which then will blow the gas then out of the galaxy as well. So we don't know what shuts the process off. Is it if it's just they run out of stuff to form more stars, or if the what's left is simply heated up to high temperatures and then blown out of the galaxy.
Thank you very much, Linda, for joining us. Wish you all the best for your research.
Thank you very much for having me.